Hello, friends. Welcome to the Logistics of Logistics podcast. My name is Joe Lynch. Thank you so much for joining us today. On the Logistics of Logistics, I talk to experts in logistics and transportation, warehousing, fulfillment, supply chain, and of course, technology. And during these interviews, I'm always the one asking the dumb questions. I ask the dumb questions so you don't have to. Today's topic is the payment problem with my friend Haley Evans. Haley is the Senior Vice President of Payer Strategic Initiatives at TriumphPay, a carrier payment platform that connects brokers, shippers, and carriers through forward-thinking solutions that helps each party successfully process, settle, and manage carrier payments. In the freight biz, the number one question is, where is my stuff? And a very close second is, where is my money? Haley and the TriumphPay team can tell you where your money is. So please take a listen. How's it going, Haley?
Hey, Joe. Great to see you. Great to be here with you. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited to talk to you. I met Haley at TIA. She was up on the stage and I was like, oh, I like what they're doing. So when I introduced myself, we talked a little bit at TIA and here we are finally talking. We talked last week, but finally doing the podcast. So Haley, please introduce yourself and your company and where you're calling from today.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm Haley Evans. I'm SVP broker leader at TriumphPay, and I'm calling in from Dallas, Texas. That's where we are located. And just really excited to be on talk with Joe about what TriumphPay is doing for the industry.
Excellent. So what does TriumphPay do? What problems do you solve and who do you sell to?
Yeah, so we automate the invoicing, settlement, and payment process for carriers, brokers, shippers, and factors. So our ultimate vision is to be a clearinghouse for billing and payments and to fully automate payments to all parties involved in the movement of freight and to provide innovative funding options and supply chain financing to those parties. So if someone wants a financing option, that's available, but really just to provide visibility to all constituents who are touching the movement of goods throughout that freight life cycle. How do we streamline the payment of that so that those people can focus on moving goods and they're not focused on where their money is?
Yep. It's so, before we hit record, we're having this conversation. We had the same conversation last week. Is when we think about getting paid, it is obviously the lifeblood of business is getting your money. And so often in this low margin business of either being a carrier, being a broker, sometimes the margin is low. And then if your payments are moving slowly, you're dead in the water. And we're living right now in what I think it's 22 months that they say we've been in this deflationary world for the freight brokers. Getting paid late on a low margin month is horrible. And I think we're seeing a lot of freight brokers go out of business, and they aren't going out of business with a flush bank account. They're going out of business because they didn't get paid on time. They had their money cost them more and more. And so this, it's very basic to say money is the lifeblood of a business, but it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And not only that, but you hit on this, but the visibility of when you're going to be paid and where you're going to be paid. So that's one of the things that we work to try to provide is if you're on net 30 payment terms, we have seen shippers pushing out from 60 to 90 days, which that extra 30 days in this period, people can't really stomach that. How can we help brokers with that? How can we help carriers with that? But even as you mentioned, just a couple of days. So if people are on net 30 terms, but they're getting pushed out to 35, 36, how can we just make things easier and better for everyone and providing that visibility and making sure people are getting paid on time? Because even those handful of days really matter right now.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, predictability, you said predictability in there. If I know that I'm getting paid in 36 days, I can plan. But when it was supposed to be 30 and you go, it's day 36, I should be paid for sure today. Do you dare spend the money or do you wait until that comes? So everything is slowed down. And in our business, sometimes it means companies not getting fuel for the truck to take the next load or being able to make payroll at your brokerage. So these are life and death for your business.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really good point where if the payment terms are getting pushed out, you can at least see that and you can plan for that. If people don't have that visibility, then you have a carrier who needs fuel calling a brokerage. You have to staff for those phone calls. You have to have someone there to answer those phone calls because carriers are, they're the lifeblood of your business. They're delivering those goods. If they don't know where their money is, they're going to call you and you want to provide a great service. So you need to answer and you will answer. And so just as, hopefully as this market turns around, more and more people are going to be having more freight. But if you don't have something that helps you provide that visibility, those phone calls are only going to increase with people wanting visibility into their carrier payment terms or wanting to see when they're going to get paid and why was it short, that sort of thing.
Yep. Before we hit record, I was saying to you, and I always think about this, and I think it's going to change. I think our world is going to change. Every business that you're in, you've been two businesses. So if you say, I sell websites, you sell websites, but you also are a bank because you're always waiting for somebody to pay you. So they don't pay you up front, not in all cases, or they pay some of it up front. Everybody is half a bank, whether you wanted to be a banker or not. Bankers like you guys are funded to be banks. The rest of us are not funded like banks. So I've always thought that at some point that the 25 pallets of whatever, as it crosses into your dock and the sensor says, yes, it's here, automatically, I get paid for my stuff. Automatically, the trucking company gets paid for delivering it. We're not there by any stretch. We're in a different world. I deliver it, and then you sit on the money for another 30 days, and you pay me, and I'm doing the same thing to the trucking company. I think it's all going to change. I honestly think companies like yours are going to become that intermediary. And as soon as that crosses the threshold and it says, receive 25 pallets, boom, we pay the shipper, boom, we pay the carrier, maybe the broker, depending.
Yeah. And there's some of that we are doing right now. We are
really,
we want, yes. So TriumphPay is owned by a publicly traded bank here in Dallas, Texas. We are traded on the NASDAQ under the ticker symbol TFIN, T-F-I-N. So you can look it up. So our cost of funds are the overnight federal funds rate. And so we offer those services to our brokers in terms and some and our shippers in terms of flow. So we first, when this first came out, was always part of our offering on paying carriers early if they wanted that option. We'll always do standard payment terms free to the carrier. Our platform is free to the carrier, all that visibility I was talking about. But if brokers want additional liquidity or they needed it, we really saw this started to spike during COVID when shippers were first pushing out from 60 to 90 day terms. Carriers are net 30 terms, and that's just industry standard. And so when you're a broker being paid by your shipper and 60 or 90, well, that's negative 30 to 60 days DSO. It's a lot. And so we've partnered with...
Wait, what does DSO stand for?
Sorry, days sales outstanding. So when you pay, you're going to pay in 30 days, but you're going to be paid in 60. So you've got that 30 days on that payable that you need to cover with your own cash reserves or with financing, which is something that we provide.
Yeah. And that works a lot better. If you're in a high margin business and that I have to carry the money to 60 days, it's different. But this business is we're talking about, the margins have come down in freight brokerage. And I think carriers have very low margins. So the idea that we have to go longer than the bare minimum is a painful business reality that I think, which is why people reach out to you guys.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And so it's part technology, part financing, which is an option. There are some people who don't use any financing from us at all. And that's fine. That's great. Use our technology solution, but it's there if you want to take advantage of it.
I warned you that I would use my corny things, but I'm going to say it. This is where fintech meets freight tech.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it is. Absolutely. That's where we want to be for sure.
So Haley, tell us a little bit about you. Where'd you grow up? Where'd you go to school? Give us some career highlights before you join the juggernaut that is TriumphPay. And also, why did you join TriumphPay?
Okay. Yeah, great. I am from Shawnee, Kansas, which is a suburb of Kansas City. So really from the Kansas City metro area.
So you got a football team still.
Yes, we do.
The rest of our teams are moving to Florida to golf for the year.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, they're still playing. We're very happy about that. It was a long stretch from us from 1969.
Do you know Taylor Swift?
I don't know Taylor Swift. No, I wish I did. That'd be great. No, I don't know her. But yeah, so I grew up in Kansas City, big Chiefs fan. whole family is from Kansas, and I made my way to Dallas by way of the SMU rowing team.
Oh, nice.
Yes. Little tidbit about me. I rowed when I was in high school. I started when I was 15 and then wanted to go to school on the East Coast because rowing is so big.
Yes.
Up there. But found something closer, found a great school that was closer to my family in Kansas. And so I moved to Dallas to go to SMU and be on the rowing team, which was really fun.
Oh my God. I have cousins who are rowers, and I always remember that the football team that they were on, the football coach would say, I need you to come back 10 pounds heavier. And they would all come back 10 pounds lighter. And they go, everybody's go, the damn rowing team.
Yeah.
And yeah. And he said, they're strong as all get out, but wiry, not gaining football weight. So tell us a little bit about your career. Where'd you start your career and how did you end up at TriumphPay?
Yes. Yeah, that part. So after I graduated SMU, I graduated from their business school with a risk management degree, and I worked for a boutique reinsurance brokerage here in Dallas. And I really enjoyed that. It was just a small niche market, but then I wanted to get into technology. Technology had been a thing for a while, but I was like, this sounds really interesting. And so I learned to code a little bit. I was not a very good coder, so I went back into the business side. But through coding was how I met Jordan Graft, who was running TriumphPay at the time. And so I got to interview at TriumphPay. And when I was looking to make a career switch, I either wanted to go into fintech, financial technology, or healthcare technology, because those were two areas that were just, I saw had a lot of opportunity, were really growing at the time. And between reinsurance and TriumphPay, I worked at a hospital, which was where I got a lot of exposure to healthcare, which was really exciting. But there was, on the healthcare side, I decided to go the fintech route after learning more about TriumphPay.
Very nice. Very nice. And for those of you who recognize the name Jordan Graft, the founder of Highway, the company that'll keep you safe from all the bad actors that are out there and stop the freight fraud. He's been on the podcast. In fact, I'll make a note to put the interview I did with Jordan Graft and Michael Caney. I interviewed them both from Highway, but there's that lineage. He came from TriumphPay and he's doing great things over there at Highway. So anyway, let's switch gears. Let's talk about the problem you guys solve. So before we get to, we had 4 points we wanted to talk about, which was we talked about, but give us one more time. Who's the sweet spot for you guys? Who do you work with? And what problem are you solving for them?
Yeah. So we process payments on behalf of who we call payors, brokers, and shippers to payees, who we call factors and carriers. So we have 4 different customer segments: brokers, factors, carriers, and shippers. And they use a combination of our technology solutions, whether it's our AI machine learning to review and process invoices, or it's our financing, like I talked about earlier. And so our ultimate goal is to connect all of these constituents via API to share invoice information, payment remittance information, because all of this information is being shared via email, phone call today, which is causing a lot of work.
People are still sending paper checks too.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So our sweet spot is really, we have over 550 brokers on TriumphPay today, 70 shippers. We have 3 of the top 5 brokers on TriumphPay today, 6 of the top 10, top 100 brokers, of course, but all the way down to smaller brokers that are on TriumphPay, sub $20 million annual brokers.
It makes sense because it becomes the network effect. The more carriers that are on, the more brokers are on, the more carriers are on. And all of a sudden it just becomes like, yeah, we can pay anybody anytime. And that's what we want, because again, I still remember this. You still every once in a while will hear somebody say, oh yeah, I sent that check. It's in the mail. And that was an old joke, is the check is in the mail. You don't hear that all the time now because we more or less are paying electronically, but I've still in recent years received a check in the mail. You're going out to the mailbox every day to see if it's there. And I think that is such an antiquated way to do business. It just makes no sense, given that you can work with a company like TriumphPay and say, nope, we'll pay you right now. And by the way, if you're a carrier, who do you want to work with? The guy who's going to send you a paper check, or the guy who says we use TriumphPay and we'll get you paid exactly on the day you're supposed to be paid, or even early? Much more attractive. And let's face it, well, right now carriers are a little desperate, but they will not be desperate for long. The market is changing. And yeah, that again, it's, we say there are carrier partners, then let's act like it.
Yes, we talked a lot about this. This is a very cyclical market. And we talked a lot about the other side of this during COVID, when brokers, there was a lot of freight out there and just trying to get freight moved. Average invoice price was 40% more than it is now, because you're wanting to entice carriers to move your freight. And now we're on the other end of that, where the invoice price is much lower. There's a lot of capacity out there in the market, but it will go back up. And were you good to your carriers in tough times? And they'll be good to you when it goes back up and you want to move your freight.
But also, if they are carrier partners, and let's just say you're a trucking company, I'm a carrier, or you're a broker, I'm a carrier, do you really want to take advantage of me if we've been working together for years? You're like, no, totally. I want to make Joe's life easier. Like, he's a trusted resource to us. So it doesn't cost us, probably cost less to start using something like Triumph Pay to get those checks sent on time. So let's talk about the big four. So we're going to talk about the payment problem with my friend Haley Evans. Before we hit record, we talked about the four big problems with payments. So take us through the first one, Haley. What's the first problem of payments?
Yes. Yeah. So I'm just going to take a step back a little bit. So Triumph Pay does a little bit more than just processing payment. And that's what we're going to get into in the payment problem. We're a little bit different than Stripe, or say if you use another bank to just pay.
Lesser bank, is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just another peer bank, maybe even larger than us. But if you use another bank just to process payments, that's not all we do. We actually cover a couple of different problems on and help you with who to pay, what to pay, where to pay, and when to pay are the four parts of that. And maybe even more, but these are the four big ones that we wanted to cover.
Yeah, let's walk through each one of those. Because when you first told me who to pay, what to pay, where to pay, when to pay, I was like, that doesn't seem like that big a problem. But then you described how each one has its issues. So let's talk about the first one. Why is who to pay a problem?
Yeah. So 60% of the market is factored, meaning carriers are selling their invoices to a factoring company and using a factoring company, one, for that financing, and two, just as their AP back office, especially if they're a smaller owner operator, they can send all their invoices to one place and someone else is dealing with it. And so what does that mean for brokers? What does that mean for shippers who are processing those payments? It means that you're not actually paying the carrier, you're paying a factoring company 60% of the time. And you have to manage all of that. You have to know who you're paying. And that comes in the form of notices of assignment and letters of release. Because if a carrier assigns
more paperwork.
More paperwork. And if a carrier assigns their invoice to a factor, you're going to get a notice of assignment from a factor saying, hey, you need to pay me instead of paying the carrier. And so you need to have that on file and make sure you're directing your payment to the right party. And then there may be a letter of release that comes in where that assignment is being released. You're paying the carrier instead of the factor. So we see a little bit of fraud here sometimes, where a carrier may send in a letter of release when they have an outstanding balance with a factor, trying to get paid directly from the broker when they've already been paid from the factor.
Right.
And so if the broker doesn't validate that's a real letter of release and they pay the carrier under a UCC filing, they still owe that to the factor. So there's a possibility of having to double pay, even if they already pay the carrier. So that's something that we completely take on. We manage all of the work with notice of assignments and letters of release. And then if we get it wrong, then we take on the liability as well. So it's something that comes off of a broker's plate. We manage who to pay and the broker can focus on moving freight.
And not everybody, especially if you're smaller, but even larger companies, it's not like they have experts in all these jobs. I always think brokers are expert in finding trucks and tracking freight. And for the most part, they do an exceptional job at that. But the payment piece is not... that's not what they do. I'm not saying that they do it, but I'm just saying there are issues. And you just described the first one, which is potentially fraud, but if not fraud, maybe just a lot of inefficient paper shuffling.
Yeah. And I mean, that's not exciting work that your team wants to do. Receiving notice of assignments in having to place them, keeping the file updated. It's not really dynamic work, but it's just work that needs to be done. So that we take over that with, you know, a combination of some technology that we have, and then people on the back end if it needs a human touch.
Yep. I love it. I love it. So the next one I want to talk about is what to pay. So now when we know who to pay, why is what to pay? They send an invoice, I just pay that.
Yeah. Very analog still, outside of EDI, but invoices that come in, we have technology that reviews that invoice, pulls what we call knowable facts off the invoice. Who's the carrier? What's the invoice number? What's the amount? And we have integrations with over 20 TMSs in the transportation industry. So if you're a TMS, we're probably integrated with them. So we're pulling that data from the TMS and matching it with the invoice. And if everything matches with what you have in your TMS system contracted, and it's passed all of your billing requirements for your shippers, then we flag ready to bill, ready to pay. And what we call in technology is happy path. If it passes through the happy path, then nobody has to touch that. I've been in brokerage offices. That's one of my favorite things to do, is go and visit brokers and see what they're doing and see how we can help. And I've seen printers where people are printing off invoices and comparing them to a screen on their computer to their TMS. And so using our technology, it's really a management by exception tool where we overbuild and we call out those exceptions, and then help manage those.
And sometimes somebody thinks, especially when you talk about like less than truckload, the quote was $2,500. And then later on I get the invoice and it is $3,000. And I say, I'm not paying that $3,000, but that there might be accessorials, there might have been detention, there might have been extra charges that are legitimate. On the other hand, they might not be legitimate. Somebody has to go through those. And by the way, I still say this about less than truckload, that billing challenge that we have creates a lot of distrust between partners. Because when I quote Haley $2,500, I hate that I have to invoice her later on $3,000 because something went wrong. And sometimes it's, oh, you sent chairs and you said they were metal chairs, but they were only half metal and some of them were wooden. You're like, seriously, that's what we're going to charge? You're going to charge me more for that? But that's the reality of our business. And I'm not saying detention and demurrage, those are all legitimate costs, but they all have to be, somebody has to go through them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go through them, recognize them, vet them. Are these real? Yep, that's what we help with on what to pay.
Yeah, and sure. You got the tech that, as you said, it's just through the exception. So are you saying is, if it's within 1% of what was quoted, we'll call that good, and anything above that, we're going to dig into, ask some questions.
Yeah, we have that built in, and that's really up to the broker if they want to have those different allowances in. We certainly have some brokers who are like, yeah, if it's within a couple of percentage points, that's fine. I don't want to touch it. It's not worth it for me to touch it. Some, it has to match exactly. So there's a broker can configure that a couple of different ways.
I would like it to be dead on. And the reason I say that, I can't imagine how my accounting looks if I don't.
Yeah. But, yeah. That's why it just depends on how you want to run your brokerage for sure. But yeah, we have customers who do it both ways. I'm like you. I'm like, oh, I'd feel better if everything matched, but it's not how the real world works sometimes.
No one wants to work with a banker who's saying close enough.
Yeah. Or technology that's processing your payments. Like, oh, close enough. The payments will probably go out. No, they're going out every day. They're going out.
I want you guys to be a little buttoned up and worried about details.
Yes.
Let the sales guys let it fly. So the next thing we want to talk about, where to pay. How is that a problem?
Yeah, this one is funny because it doesn't seem like this would be the case, but we see quite a few bank accounts changing. And so what this really is, like the remittance address. If a carrier wants to be paid by check, which we do see some checks, but it's definitely more ACH. People just want the money to be deposited into their account. They want the remittance information so they can, you know, track which loads they've been paid for. But we see, this is where we see probably the most fraud.
Yes.
Carriers come to our portal to update their carrier bank accounts. They're changing from Wells Fargo to Bank of America. So they input that information that goes through our technology. And then if it looks good, there's 10 different things that we look into about that bank account, about that carrier based off of the information we've collected. And if everything's fine, the carrier has ownership of that bank account, then it passes and it gets approved and the funds get moved to the new bank account. If there's a red flag thrown, then our fraud team here at the bank takes another look. And so again, that's the work that we're taking on and the liability, where if we misdirect funds or a bank account gets through that wasn't supposed to be approved and we pay, we don't go back to the broker and say, oh, sorry, we made a mistake. We approved a bank account. No, that's on us to go get that money back and make sure that the true person was being paid. So carriers change bank accounts all the time, which wasn't something we were expecting, but it happens.
Yeah. And by the way, we're all so on edge about the freight fraud. I just had Michael Caney on. Michael Caney was one of the people who said, you need to talk to Haley. I was like, I'm already got her on my schedule, but he's from Highway. And again, when we talked offline, he said, you need to have these payment partners. It's one more line of defense. So you don't think of your payment partner as they're going to save me, but they could save you because there's a lot of freight brokers who are one fraudulent deal from out of business. And
yeah,
when somebody says, hey, our bank account changed and you pay the wrong carrier, and let's just say it was for 4 or 5 loads, that might push you out of business. And it's one thing to get paid late. It's a whole nother thing to say, no, I paid the wrong carrier. Now I got to somehow pay the correct carrier. So
yeah, absolutely.
The thieves have gotten very sophisticated in their dealings. Not as sophisticated as the solution, of course, but pretty sophisticated.
Yeah, it's like a whack-a-mole situation, or I think of it like a crab where people are finding like the weak spots. It's a pretty tough industry, but it's still fragmented at times. And so people are getting smart and trying to find the weak spots, and then different tech providers try to come and cover it up, and then they look for something else to go and
I will say I've also worked with a lot of logistics companies as a direct employee and others, and there's turnover all the time. So it's not as if the team that you brought in have really solid expertise, like they came from a broker. They came maybe, but there's a very good chance they came from a cosmetic store or a medical office. There's not, especially in all the small towns around America, there's not brokers that have deep benches. That might be the case if you're in Chattanooga or Chicago, but in a lot of other areas, you're bringing in somebody who is maybe a bookkeeper, and now all of a sudden this is on them. And again, they could potentially cost your business a ton of money.
Yes. Yeah. And it's also back to, is that really meaningful work that you want your people doing? So that bookkeeper who comes in, they have to staff for that. Or someone who has to monitor bank accounts, know what they're looking for, change them, work with carriers, versus having someone work on a carrier sales team with that great carrier experience or somewhere else value added in your brokerage.
Yep. So the last thing we wanted to talk about in terms of the problem was when to pay. So why is that a problem? It says right on the invoice, you're supposed to pay me on, or maybe on our contract, net 30, something like that. Why is when to pay a problem?
Yeah, so I think this goes back to earlier in the conversation when we were talking about that visibility. So we provide visibility to people in the industry, to these constituents on our platform that shows them when they're going to be paid without knowing they have to make phone calls to their broker or shipper to understand when they're going to be paid and what those payment dates are. And then those payment dates can be moved. If you don't have that visibility, that's sometimes a benefit on the payor, just calling that out. If I have net 30 terms, but someone doesn't have visibility into when they're going to be paid, I can push them out a couple of days. And that's okay. Like, it's not ideal, but that's what I'm going to do. And so you have that person going out to the mailbox every day, trying to see if they got that check, or calling you, hey, it's the 30th day, I don't see my ACH. They may call you every day until they get paid. Yeah, you're getting a couple of days afloat, but you're creating a lot of work for someone else and creating a lot of work for your team. And so the when to pay is, if a broker tells us to pay on day 36, then we have to follow their payment instruction terms. We will advise them not to do that. And we will try to work with them to figure out another solution. But ultimately, those are what we do on standard pay. And then because we're a bank, we will offer quick pay to carriers, to other brokers if they'd like it. It's always an option to get paid earlier on day one versus on day 30.
I would love to make that offer to my carriers. If I'm a broker, I want them to have, I know a lot of people do quick pay, but I want that. You don't have it. It just seems like you're less attractive as a broker to work with.
Yeah. Yeah. Some brokers, like, they have it, but they, again, they're not able to manage it, which is fine, or they don't have the cash flow to manage it. If you're getting paid in 60 days, now you're paying a carrier on day one, instead of that negative 30, you're at negative 60. And so that's where we can help a broker too with the carrier experience, is offering those quick pay terms to a carrier if a carrier wants to take it on day one, and then the broker can keep their payment terms the same. They can pay us on day 30. So we're providing those 30 days of flow to the broker, helping them with their DSO. And again, just an option for the carrier and an option for the broker. Now, some brokers, we will manage their quick pay program for them, pay the carrier on day one. And they're like, I don't need the float. I'm okay. Just go ahead and drop me on day two. And then they'll keep the majority of the revenue share. So it could be to help them earn money as well. And we're really just a payment processor for them in that.
Yeah, you give them options, which, again, if you're partnering with a broker, you're making it a lot easier for them to attract carriers and keep the carriers they're working with. So if you really like a carrier, you don't want them leaving because they say the guy down the street is willing to give me upfront money sometimes when I need it. One of the things that comes up on my podcast every once in a while is this whole business is based on partners. We have, if you have a transportation management system, you have a tech partner. You might have them doing robotic process automation. We all have tech partners. We take that for granted. Of course we do. We have carrier partners. If you're a broker, you have carrier partners. We take that for granted. We call them our partners. We might work with Green Screen, so our dynamic pricing partner, and we might work with Four Kites or MacroPoint or Project 44, our visibility partners. We're so used to having these partners, and I think it's becoming just table stakes that we have really good partners, and that needs to include a financial partner, like a TriumphPay. Just makes sense.
Yeah. I agree, Joe. Thank
of course,
you.
Of course you agree.
Vote of confidence. Of course I agree.
But it's the stuff we don't specialize in. So this is allowing you to be best in class at something that you don't have that expertise, right?
Yeah.
It's like having the base dealer. Having somebody pinch hit. That's what we want.
Yeah. So I led our sales team over here at TriumphPay for 4 years and just absolutely loved that. Loved going out and visiting brokers, hearing what their problems were. And our main takeaway when we talk to brokers is we want to enable you to be a great broker. You're great at carrier relationships. You're great at selling. And there's all this back office work that comes along with that. As you grow, you're going to get more NOAs and LORs. You're going to get more people changing their bank accounts. You're going to get more invoices coming in that you have to compare against your contractor rate. You're going to get more people asking to take a quick pay or move their payment terms. And so that's just going to build and build as you grow, hopefully, and let us take on all of that work with our technology, with our back office solution, and have you be the face to your carriers, the face to your shippers, and go be a great broker.
Yep. Yep. And it's one of those things you can try and learn it on your own, but why try and learn it on your own? TriumphPay already figured it out. Just bring them on. And I'm assuming there's also a little bit of those areas of liability. TriumphPay takes them on. If there's a wrong address, that's on them. And they know that, and they're probably pretty good at all that. So you don't have to worry about it. If somebody wants to work with TriumphPay, how does that work? So they say, they listen to this podcast and go, oh my God, Joe and Haley are both so charming. I want to work with Haley. What's the next step?
I want to work with everyone. So yes, a couple of different ways. You can go to TriumphPay.com and fill out our contact form. If you'd like to do that, go check out our website. You can email me directly, hevans, E-V-A-N-S, at TriumphPay.com, or find me on LinkedIn. Send us a message there.
I'll put a link to your LinkedIn profile and LinkedIn to your website and any other links you give me so they can reach out and talk to you. So how does it start?
Yeah. So give us a call or send me a note and we'll set up a short call just to learn more about you, what you're trying to do, what your problems are, problems you're trying to solve with your brokerage. We like to understand our brokers really well so we can offer different solutions that may work for them, and then show you what Try and Pay does, how it can help you, and hopefully you like it. So a lot of people do. So hopefully you do too.
Now, how quickly are you integrated with these businesses? So I heard you say you're connected to all the transportation management systems, or a lot of them. How quickly, if they say, yes, I like what I've heard, I want to do this, how quickly are they doing business with Try and Pay?
Yeah, it depends on the TMS, but typically it could be set up just within a couple of weeks. Get through contracting, depending on if you want financing, there's an underwriting process where we just make sure everything's good. We'll work with you on that. And then the TMS integration is a couple of weeks to a couple of months, just depending on how sophisticated the brokerage is and if we're doing any sort of custom solutions in there. But with some of our standard integrations, it's could be up and running within a couple of weeks.
So you said if they need financing. So are you acting as the main bank for a lot of freight brokers?
Yes, there are some brokers who are using us as their bank. They do bank with us, which we love, but the majority do not. The majority have their own banking relationships, which is totally fine. And we support that. We would love to do more in the brokerage industry. We would love to host your banking at Triumph Bank, but that's certainly not a requirement at all to use Triumph Bank.
The reason I ask is because one of the things that's nice about working, if I was a broker, I would think there'd be some advantage to working with Triumph Pay, who understands how my business works, as opposed to a bank where I'm explaining to them the rough parts of the business.
Yes, we are all in on Triumph. We are all in on transportation. Triumph Pay is just one company under the TBK bank umbrella. We also do equipment financing, insurance specifically for transportation. So we have clients who are on Triumph Pay, and then they also use some other services because we are so transportation focused.
Got it. I got it. So they can start working with you within a few weeks, and that means their technology is integrated with their. Now, what about companies who aren't using? Well, I'm assuming most of the companies you work with, you have a TMS. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. All companies, we have to have something to integrate with. So we can, whether that's your TMS or we integrate directly with your accounting system to send those payables back. It just depends on the way the broker wants the data to flow and how they want to record different processes. We go through all of that in our integration scoping session.
And earlier on, we were talking about who you work with, and you said you work with a number of the top 100 freight brokers. Not so long ago, I had my buddy Kevin Hill on the podcast, and I think he said there's 25,000, 28,000 freight brokers, but the top 1,200 or top 1,500 have 80% of the volume. And you're working with a lot of those guys at the top. And the reason I bring that up is they see it as an advantage that they wouldn't be doing it otherwise. So I always think the guys at the top, it makes some sense to follow suit. If it's good enough for the big boys, it's probably good enough for your freight brokerage too.
I appreciate that, Joe. Yeah, we love working with brokers of all sizes. And for sure, yes, some of the larger ones, as we have grown in scale, I think we've really earned the trust of some of the larger brokers that as we're processing more than 25 billion of payments are flowing through Triumph Pay every year. And we touch about over 50 billion, whether that's on the invoice processing or on the payment side. So we see a lot of invoices, and we have built a lot of redundancies to make sure payments go out, data is secure. Whereas when we were first starting in 2018, 2019, we were not big enough to maybe handle some of the bigger brokers. But as we've grown and matured and really built in those redundancies, we've earned the trust of some of the larger brokers.
Yep. Nice. Very nice. So is there a minimum size you need to be before you can start working with the juggernaut that is Triumph Pay?
So we'd love to have a conversation with brokers of any size. Typically, brokers at or above 20 million in annual freight spend find that Triumph Pay is a good fit for them. Now, that being said, we do have many brokers who are underneath that size. It's just that's not our sweet spot. So over 20 million is where we fit the most. And then we do have some solutions for brokers who are under 20 million in factoring, whether they want, or at Triumph Pay, they may want supply chain financing. So that's how we see it.
So you're willing to have those conversations knowing that some are going to grow into it. Some might be a better fit for other products. I love it. I love it. Oh, I wrote it down. So my other corny joke, anytime I talk to anyone in the financial space, is the number one question in our business is, where's my stuff? And the number two, and it's probably 1B, is where's my money? And Haley will tell
you,
where's
my money?
I don't care about where my stuff is if you don't send me that money. Put a big old bow on this thing. We talked about a whole bunch of stuff, but we talked about who, what, where, and when to pay. And those all have challenges. And again, this whole business has challenges over the last few years. Give us your final thoughts on this topic.
Yes. So I've been fortunate to have a couple of mentors in my life. And one of my mentors always told me, think about what you can be the best in the world at and go and do and be that and focus on that. And so that's what I like to think TriumphPay, any of those brokers to do, is go and be the best broker you can be to your shipper and to your carriers. And let us be what we're good at, which is a bank and payment processing, and take all of that extra work and liability off of your plate. So we can go do what we're great at and help you go do what you're great at.
I love it. I love it. So again, I'll put a link to your LinkedIn profile, link to your website, and any of the links you and your marketing team give me, I'll put in the show notes so people can reach out and talk to you. Haley, I know Manifest is next week, and this will probably publish after Manifest, but you're not going to be at Manifest, but your team is going to be at Manifest. Where will we see you guys after Manifest?
After Manifest, we will be at the TIA conference. Really looking forward to that.
That's in April in Phoenix, right?
In April, yes. So we'll be at the TIA conference in the spring and in the fall, and then we will be at both FreightWaves conferences as well. So we'll be at the summer FreightWaves conference and in the fall. So you can find us at those conferences. Or you're welcome to come by our headquarters in Dallas, Texas. Just send me a note. I'll show you around.
Excellent. It's not hard to find you guys. I'll put all those links so people can reach out and talk to you. Haley, I really appreciate you taking the time, and I love what you guys are doing. It feels like this whole industry is just a series of picking the right partners, right? My tech partners, my carrier partners, my business process outsourcing partners, my dynamic pricing partners, everybody's partnering up. And it seems like when you see all the very successful companies doing it, you start to realize maybe there's a reason behind that. You can't be good at everything. To your point, you want to focus on what you're very best at. And this is why we outsource. That's why we partner
up. Absolutely. All right. Thanks for having me on, Joe. This was really fun.
Thank you. Finally. I know you're a busy lady, so I appreciate you coming on the podcast.
Yeah, no, this was great. I'd love to be on again. So we'll hopefully get connected again, and I'll come back on. We can talk about something else.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much, Haley. And thank all of you for listening to my podcast. Your support's very much appreciated. Until next time, onward and upward. You have been listening to the Logistics of Logistics podcast, where we engage with leaders in the logistics and supply chain community. If you like what you hear, please subscribe, hit the like button, and leave us a nice review on Apple or Spotify or wherever else you listen. Also, please check out our videos on YouTube and connect with us on LinkedIn. We're very big on LinkedIn. And you can also reach us on the logisticsoflogistics.com, our website.